Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We press on in looking at the life of David. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we've seen previously that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David and the Lord had departed from Saul. So Saul moved David out of the house, okay, and he got him an appointment, put him in charge as commander over thousands, 8,000 soldiers. Well, David prospered in that. He went in among the people. He went out among the people. The people loved him. And when Saul saw that he was prospering, that David was being prospered greatly by the Lord, Saul went from being afraid of David to dreading him. And the last verse we looked at, verse 16, said that all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. That's reiterated twice. He moved among the people. Okay, he was among the people. That is a big, big thing. He wasn't, you know, some prince sitting on top of a mountaintop that they never saw or anything like that. So, verse 17 says this, "Then Saul said to David, 'Here is my older daughter, Merib. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles.' For Saul thought, 'My hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him.'" So Saul did what he had told his people that he would do. If someone would stand up to Goliath, if someone would defeat Goliath, he would grant his daughter to him. And so he gave the daughter to David. But he had another motive behind it. And we're told point blank, "For Saul thought, 'My hand shall not be against him.'" He said, "I can't come against him. I'm not going to come against him. But let the hands of the Philistines be against him." In other words, let the Philistines kill him. Verse 18 tells us, "But David said to Saul, 'Who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law?'" He said, "How can I do this? How can I be a king's son-in-law? I'm not from that lineage. I'm not from that line." And I don't think that David was feigning any false humility here. I think he actually felt that way. Verse 19, "So it came about at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Maholathite, for a wife." So David was saying, "No, you know, who am I to do this?" Well, when the time came for this actually to take place, she was given to somebody else. The king decided to give her to somebody else. You think, well, okay, what's going on here? Well, verse 20. "Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. When they told Saul, the thing was agreeable to him." So Saul didn't force his first daughter upon David as wife. When David was saying, "You know, no, I can't be the king's son-in-law. No. You know, what is my life? Who am I? What is my father's family in Israel? I mean, I'm not of the line to do this." So he didn't force it, but he gave his oldest daughter to somebody else. But then Saul heard that another daughter of his loved David. And when they told this to Saul, it was agreeable to him. Agreeable in his sight. I wonder why. Well, we don't have to wonder. The next verse tells us point blank. Again, verse 21. Saul thought, so let me stop here. This is twice that we're actually being told the thoughts of Saul. So how do we know the thoughts of Saul? How did the writer here know the thoughts of Saul? Well, it could have been because it was very well known information over a period of time. Could be that the Lord is giving insight to the one who's writing the scripture here. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So Saul thought this, "I will give her to him that she may become a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore, Saul said to David, "For a second time, you may be my son-in-law today." So the king comes to David and says, "Hey, you know, I'm coming to you again, second time. You can be my son-in-law. I'll give you this one here." But not only was the agenda that the Philistines might be against him, but also that she might become a snare to him. He wanted to bring down David one way or the other, or one way or both ways, right? He was going to try to bring him down. Verse 22, then Saul commanded his servants, speak to David secretly, saying, behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now, therefore, become the king's son-in-law. So we've already seen that the servants of Saul really, really liked David. Remember that? We saw that a couple of episodes before. They liked him. Saul knew this. So he actually goes to his servants and tells them, hey, help me here. Speak to David secretly and say, behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now, therefore, become the king's son-in-law. Now, his servants did love him. But it's sort of sad that the king's having to tell the servants to secretly tell David, oh, the king really delights in you. Well, why would David think that the king didn't delight in him? Well, maybe that thing where he tried to spear him twice. You go, well, yeah, but that was an evil spirit that had come upon him. Well, this is true. Okay, it was an evil spirit that did that, that came upon him. But David would have known also what was being said by the women when they're singing that David had killed his 10,000 and Saul had killed his thousands, right? David would have been aware of how Saul felt. So now the king's trying to come at him in several different ways to talk him into doing this. Verse 23. So Saul's servant spoke these words to David. But David said, is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? Ah, so what's going on here? Well, let me read the last verse here. The servants of Saul reported to him according to these words which David spoke. So something's going on here. And what's happening, we'll see more in the next verse, but I don't want to get into that right now. Was David says, I'm a poor man. I'm lightly esteemed. Okay? You know, I'm not... It literally means to dishonor, disgrace, somewhat despised, you know. In other words, he wasn't a man of resources. He didn't have a vast amount of money. He says, I'm a poor man. He didn't have a high position in society and things. He's a shepherd. Was he victorious over Goliath? Oh, yeah, yeah. Was part of the reward for killing Goliath having a daughter of the king? The king had promised that? Yeah, yeah. But, you know, David was thinking that through. He's saying, wait a minute, you know, I really don't have the qualifications you would normally have for this. And he's feeling, as a man here, very much unqualified, okay, unqualified to be the king's son-in-law. Now, the servants report this back to Saul, and Saul is going to become aware of this, and he's going to offer an out. He's going to give something for David to do. We'll see that next episode. I hope your stomach isn't too weak. Okay. But it really shows us that David's a man just like us, okay? Because he's realized, well, man, I don't really qualify. I'm not one of honor to do anything like this. He wanted to do something to attain to this great honor. Yeah, he'd killed Goliath. He had done this, done that. But there was yet even more, okay? We'll see what that is in the next episode, okay? Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you then. Goodbye.